And the commercials? Maybe so. Well, today we continue in Romans, and we get to a very interesting place in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, verses 18 through 27, where the Apostle Paul takes a very cosmic look, and he talks about salvation not just for us humans, but for all of creation. And that includes all the animals, all the creatures, and all the things that God has made. And so the title for today is Beauty and the Beasts. We think back to creation, we realize that God made Adam and Eve king and queen over all of the creation and all of the earth and all of the earth's creatures. He says in Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Can you imagine what it would be like before there was sin, before there was warfare between the animals in the animal kingdom, and the animals actually listened to man, and man was at peace with the animals and at peace with God? What a beautiful thing that would be. You could almost call it paradise, right? And that's what it was. It was paradise. In fact, God said, "It's good, it's good, it's good." And then when he created man, he said, "It's very good." And so we want to consider that today as we look at this. You know, this is an old story. It's probably the oldest story there is in the world. Maybe you've heard of it. The ruler of a kingdom does an evil thing, he's punished. But it's not him only. The whole kingdom and everyone and everything in it suffer along with the king. They endure the curse. Not only does the ruler long to be set free from his guilt and from his punishment, but so does the whole kingdom, the entire kingdom. Everyone and everything needs to be free of this curse. But it won't happen until the ruler is set free. Have you heard of the story? Well, it's a rescue story, it's a love story, and it's in Romans 8, verses 18 through 27. So let's read that. I'll read the first verse, and then all of us together read the second verse, okay? Verse 18 of Romans 8, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." We'll read the last two verses later. Not only does the ruler long to be free from his guilt and punishment, but everyone does. And it's not going to happen until he's set free. So this is an old story. You could say a tale as old as time. Beauty and the Beast. How many have actually seen this film? When was it released? 93, I believe. It's being re-released with actors next month. Now, one of the reasons I'm doing this, so that when people talk about this, you can relate it to the Bible. You can relate it to a redemption theme. And so you can start with something that's just fun and actually help people move them towards the gospel.
Once upon a time, in a faraway land, a young prince lived in a shining castle. Although he had everything his heart desired, the prince was spoiled, selfish, and unkind. But then, one winter's night, an old beggar woman came to the castle and offered him a single rose in return for shelter from the bitter cold. Repulsed by her haggard appearance, the prince sneered at the gift and turned the old woman away. But she warned him not to be deceived by appearances, for beauty is found within. And when he dismissed her again, the old woman's ugliness melted away to reveal a beautiful enchantress. The prince tried to apologize, but it was too late, for she had seen that there was no love in his heart. And as punishment, she transformed him into a hideous beast and placed a powerful spell on the castle and all who lived there. Ashamed of his monstrous form, the beast concealed himself inside his castle with a magic mirror as his only window to the outside world. The rose she had offered was truly an enchanted rose which would bloom until his 21st year. If he could learn to love another and earn her love in return by the time the last petal fell, then the spell would be broken. If not, he would be doomed to remain a beast for all time. As the years passed, he fell into despair and lost all hope. For who could ever learn to love a beast?
Who could learn to love a beast? Now, part of the story that doesn't match up is that the beast begins to change and she falls in love with him as he's changing. But God loves us first, and his love actually changes us and transforms us. But I still think it's very useful to lead into the gospel. So all creation is longing to be set free from its bondage to decay. It was cursed for the sake of its ruler, and it will only be released when the ruler is released. Who's that ruler? It's mankind. It's us. And so all creation waits upon the redemption of mankind. So if you want to save the earth and the creatures of the earth, what do you need to do? Be busy in the spreading the good news of salvation, because it's when man is saved that the cosmos will be saved. Animals, they're part of the creation, they want to be released. They want mankind to be released. They're waiting. Maybe man doesn't know this, but creation knows man has to be saved first. And so they're longing for this. That's what Paul says in this chapter. They're longing for mankind to be released from the curse and that peace be restored between man and God. And then it can be restored between man and creation, of which man, God made man the ruler. Can you imagine what it was like when there was peace between the animal world? We've grown to think it's normal that they kill one another and eat one another. And we eat animals as well. But what was it like? Even people who are not religious can sense there's something lost in our past. Remember this? This is from Jurassic Park. What if there was no killing? What if there was no death? What if there's no extinction? What if we were actually friends with dinosaurs? Wouldn't that be cool? People go on boats and they want to see whales because they're so enormous. They're so great. We like the idea of great creatures. What if you could, well, I don't know, tame your dragon and fly on it, you know? Would that be fun? To have dinosaurs under the control of man? I think it would be fun. You could swim or ride on a dolphin. You could, we ride on horses, but riding on a T-Rex or a brontosaurus might be kind of cool. And then if you could actually fly on a pteranodon, what are those called? The flying dinosaurs. Those. There you go. Or even a mammoth. It'll be fun. So, one day God will restore creation. And then the animal kingdom will be rescued. It'll be released from its decay, its corruption, its the killing, the death. That will happen. Now, does God care about the animal world? Didn't he rescue the animal world at one time? Yes. With Noah, God rescued the animals. He kept the species alive. And then, as we mentioned at Christmas time, in the Christmas story are animals. I think this shows, it reflects back on the cosmic view of God, that their animals will also be set free from the curse. What about the millennium? In Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9, the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Is that a cool vision? Wouldn't that be nice to see that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be awesome to see that. It will be great when God restores this. All right, I read the first verse, you read the second one. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. For in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Has this happened yet? Is the world at peace? Is the animal kingdom at peace? Is the cosmos been restored? Has it been released from its decay and corruption? No. But we believe it will happen, and we have hope.
It is you.
Watch the castle.
Lumiere. Cogsworth. Oh, Mrs. Potts. Look at us.
Mama.
My goodness.
It is a miracle. Oh.
Did you like what happened to the castle?
Yeah.
So who was released from the curse? Everyone. But it had to be, the ruler was the one who had to be released first. And when he was released, then everyone was released. I want to read something from Peter's second letter. He says that he knows his time was short. He'd soon be taken from the life, and he wanted to remind them of something. In chapter 3, the end of his letter, he talks about the second coming of Christ. And he says, there are people who doubt it because it's taking so long. And so they say, God's not going to keep his promise because it's taking so long. And then he says, these people who are doubting the second coming, they've forgotten something. They've forgotten creation, which happened by the word of God's power, or the powerful God's powerful word. And the second thing they've forgotten is that he once flooded the world with fire. And he says, God will flood the world again with fire. He flooded the world with water. Now he'll flood the world with fire. And he'll create a new heaven and new earth in which there's only righteousness. There'll be no more corruption, no more decay. It will be released from the curse and all the creatures with it. And so he says, let me read from verse 9. He said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think it's slow. He's patient with you, not wanting any to come to, or not any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. That's when people are not expecting it. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way and remade, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God, the second coming, and speed its coming. So we can look forward to the day, and we speed its coming. How can we speed its coming? What's he waiting for? Why has he not brought the end already? He's waiting for people to repent and believe. And so our part in that is to be his witnesses and tell people about the good news about Christ, that God is going to fix the sin problem and restore us. And so he says, you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which is the home of righteousness. So then, my dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you in all the wisdom that God gave him. So, he says, let's live as people who believe that day is coming, that we're part of the creation already restored to God. We haven't had the redemption of our bodies yet. Anybody have a redeemed and glorified body yet? I don't see any, and I know you're not looking at one. So, we're looking forward to that. And so, since we do that, he says, let us live according to it. So God will fix us. He will fix the world. He will get rid of the curse. We're going to have hope, and we have God's promise. Now, we're about to take part in communion. And I would like the men to, or those ready to present it, come forward.